بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرع إلى الله. The blessings that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us, these blessings, including the blessing of Iman, none of them is guaranteed to stay with us. So we have to do something so that we protect them and we don't lose them at any point during our life. So these blessings, may that be health, may that be wealth, may that be happiness, may that be hayat, may that be iman. Anything can fall away at any point. So we have to do something so that we protect it as much as it is possible. The topic that has been selected for tonight is the attitude of servitude. That is, we possess an akhlaq, we possess an attitude which is all submission to Allah. It is quite an interesting topic and we'll shed some light on it today. If you look back into history, look back into Quran, or even in our own communities, the livelihoods that we are living in, you must have come across people, or there were people in the past who were very good. And we never thought that they would decline headwards. Nor did they themselves ever think that they are so good, so pious, they would ever decline or they would ever deteriorate. So they were people loving, giving, generous, serving. But when they fell, they turned back to their own, to their heels. So what was the reason for that decline, and why did they fell on head? What was that collision? A head collision. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
To understand this, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen was present, Zubayr also was present over there. With reference to Zubayr, in the advent of Islam, the services that he provided were amazing, were second to none. Many of the things which he did, now, he embraces Islam at the age of 16. And then in many of the wars, the battles that Rasulullah has, Zubayr, he does tasks which no one was able to do. He goes right into the heart of the enemies, gets the information which is required for the Muslims, and brings that to the Mu'mineen's side, to the Muslim side. No one had that courage, Zubayr did. He embraces at the age of 16. And relationship with the Prophet also, he is his first cousin of the Prophet, first cousin of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that is, the paternal aunt's son. And when after Rasulullah, when those mala'in, alayhim la'inullah, they attack the household of Wahi, the only person present over there in that gathering who supports Amir al-Mu'mineen is Zubayr. What he says that, with reference to Zubayr Rasul, he says that لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ حَوَارِي وَحَوَارِي Zubayr ibn Awam. Rasulullah said that every prophet has his own disciples, has his own Hawari. And among my Hawariyin is Zubayr. So with that good past, or when the household of Wahi is attacked and no one supports Amir al-Mu'mineen, Zubayr, he steps forward. And he says, Ya Ma'shara Bani Hashim, أيفعل هذا بعلي وأنتم أحياء? Says people, mankind, are you alive and these atrocities upon Ali? So that strong, staunch supporter of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Rasulullah. It so happens that in that meeting where Amir al-Mu'mineen is present, Rasulullah is there, Zubayr is there. Rasulullah says to Zubayr that, do you love Ali? He says, he's my brother. Rasulullah says that a time will come that you will stand against him. So Zubayr has that beautiful past. No one ever thought that he would have a head-on collision. He will decline. No others, himself also, he never thought that he would be like that. And it so happens that 25, 30 years, Rasulullah doesn't say anything more than that. About 25 to 30 years after this meeting, there is this battle of Jamal, and there Zubayr, he is among the entrepreneurs, the wealthiest people of town, and historians, Allama Amini in his Ghadir, Al-Ghadir, he says that he was the fourth richest person of the Muslim world. The first was Usman and the fourth was him. And the riches that were counted for him ranked in billions at that time. The palaces which he possessed were 8. Many of them were tourist spots for centuries after him. And in that battle of Jamal, it so happens that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he hasn't worn the armor. And the battle hasn't started yet. Amir al-Mu'mineen says to Zubayr that I want to have a word with you. Now, Amir al-Mu'mineen having a word with someone, at that time, the ex-first lady Aisha, she says Zubayr is killed. She spreads out that rumor that he is killed. But when Amir al-Mu'mineen, he had no intentions to kill him, nor was he killed, nor was he wearing the armor. He just wanted to have a word with him. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen says to him, do you remember 25, 30 years ago, Rasulullah said that a day will come, a time will come, when you will stand against me. And the reason for him opposing Amir al-Mu'mineen was the wealth, the riches which he had. Although he did not fight Amir al-Mu'mineen, his sons, his relatives, they came to him and they said that, are you scared of Ali? And it so happens that his own relatives, they killed Zubayr. But someone who was so good in the past, how come he had that bad end? How come he declined so much that he ended up standing against the Imam? So this is a lesson we learn from history. The topic is this, that the attitude, the akhlaq that we have, it should be an akhlaq, an attitude of servitude, of bandagi, of submission. That is whatever Allah has said, to submit truly before Him. Not a part-time submission, a full-time submission. And this submission again, as it was mentioned, it's not guaranteed. Like every blessing, this blessing also is not guaranteed. And you find that many a times we have this the complaint of memory loss, that we become so forgetful. That is a blessing which is given to us by Allah, but also that memory loss also, memory also can't stay with us. It is said that these three old women, they got together, they said that, I don't know what to do with this memory loss, I just keep on forgetting everything. The first lady, she says that, I come to the refrigerator, to the fridge, and then I think, why did I come here? She opens the door. Did I come here to put something in, or did I come here to take something out? The second one, she says that, you are much better, I am worse than you. She says that, I come to the staircase, and then I forget. I wanted to go up, or I wanted to go down. The third one said that, thanks God, I am very good, not like you too. And she says, touch wood, and starts tapping on the wall. And then says, who's at the door? So this Library, again, it's a blessing that Allah has given to us, and it's not guaranteed to stay with us. The same thing is with Iman and with every other blessing that has been given to us. So, doing good. Again, it's going to be a continuation of Brother Sajjad's lecture. And that is, the deeds that we do in this world, may that be good, may that be bad, it could be of four types. For example, if there is an act which is good, people, they do it like a regular good act. But there are people who do this good, really good, in a very good way. And there are actions that are bad, sins, whatever you can think of. So there are people who commit these sins, but there are people who do that sin in a real bad way. Although they're doing haram, but they do that haram in a way that you feel sick. People do good in a way that you are honored by the way, or you are amazed that how come they can do that good. Now, to understand this, for example, someone donates something, or someone gives a qarz, a loan to someone. That is good, that is regular. But sometimes this good is done in a bad way. That we give that, and then we say that, that's what I've done. If I wasn't there, this wouldn't have happened. I paid, I did, I found him a job, I found him a wife, so on and so forth. So that is a good that is done, but that good is contaminated, is polluted. So we destroy that good. And sometimes good is done in a benevolent way that you cry on the goodness of that person and the beauty of that act that has unfolded from that individual. To understand this, a hadith during the time of Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. Comes to the town and says that who is the Kareem in this town? That is, who is the most generous and who is the most benevolent person in town? And people, they give him and guide him, show him the address of Abu Abdullah Hussein. Now just look at the words of how this beggar comes. Now this is something which every beggar, when he comes to ask for something, they have something to recite, like Gharibo ki suno, Tumari suneva, etc., etc. Now this beggar, he comes to Abu Abdullah Hussein and says that anta jawadun wa anta mu'tamadun abuka qad kana qatilun fasaqa. Knocks the door and says that anta jawad, you are generous, you are benevolent. And your father was the killer of the fasaqa, of the wrongdoers. And Imam gets the message that he is in need. Comes inside the house, spreads a cloth on the floor, and comes and says to all the family members that if you want to help, now is the time. There is someone at the door in need. And whatever they have in the house is put into that cloth, it's wrapped, and Imam, he comes to the door. He just opens the door a little bit. He just takes his hand out, gives that package to the faqir, saying that, and he said, anta jawadun, Imam in reply says that, khudha fa inni ilayka mu'tazirun, take this, I'm sorry, this is little what we have. Wa'lam bi'anni alayka dhu shaqata. Know that I love you. This is something which Imam says to that beggar. Just opens the door a little bit, slides his hand out, gives the package to that faqir. Now that faqir, he starts crying. Imam says, now why did he not open the door completely? And why did he not look at the beggar? The reason for that is that Imam did not want that beggar to be ashamed a little bit as well. This is the teaching. He does good in a benevolent way, in a beautiful way. Doesn't even open. Now that beggar cries from the street. Imam says from the window that what's the reason? Was that little? That was what we had. He says, no, what you've given me is more than what I wanted. The reason why I cry is that these hands who have served me, these hands should endure so long as the creation endures. These hands must never be buried. My cry is for that. I wish that beggar was there to see what happened with these hands of Aba Abdullah. What happened with Aba Abdullah on that day of Ashura? Now we have all got together here to remember Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And truly, sincerely, we are all beggars. We don't know how to beg, that's our fault. But we want something from Aba Abdullah, and that is Aba Abdullah himself. We want Imam from the Imam, nothing else. Because we don't know how to beg, we don't know what our needs are, we don't know what our requirements are. But what we know is that we want the Imam, that is for sure. And if we get that Imam, everything else is covered, everything else is guaranteed. So that's one. So a thing which is benevolent, done, a good job, done by the Imam, in a beautiful, elegant, benevolent way. Or if you see, again, the seerah of the pious, of the good, among them is Marhum Ja'far Awai Mujtahidi. Among the great, sincere servants of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam, for whom Ayatullah al-Imam al-Ashi says that the tasks which this shaykh does are tasks that are given to him by Ahlul Bayt. What a great rank a person has arrived to, that he performs tasks given directly to him by Imam, by Ahlul Bayt. There is a mountain in Qom called Kuhi Khizr near the Jamkaran Mosque. And it is said that Prophet Khizr was seen in this mountain. And it is a place where people come and frequent, say prayers. And it was as such that this Shaykh, he has a chilla, he imposes upon him 40 days to stay in that mountain. And after 40 days, when he returns to Qom, that is 10 kilometers, about 5 miles, from that mountain to Qom, he walks all the way, an old man. He comes, all the students are waiting just to see what's new or what the lesson he had to give them. And after that meeting, when he comes out to renew his wuzu, and he wants to dry his face and hands, he takes out that handkerchief and he sees there's an ant in his handkerchief, in that towel, hand towel. And he says that this ant, I have moved her from that Kuhi Khizr to Qom, which is 10 kilometers away. I have to go back so that I put that ant back to where it belongs. Now, if we take no notice of that, it's just an ant that has moved from here to there. Now, the students present over there, they say that we'll take it and we'll put it back, you stay here, we'll drive. He says no. They say we'll drive you to that mountain. He says no. I have to punish myself that next time I'm more careful that I don't move an ant or these things don't happen in my life. So these great personalities are that great. That is, they do good in a good way. He walks all the way, puts that ant back and comes, returns. So we don't want to do all this, but just to say that there are people, there have been people who are good and who do good in a good way. And also, there are people who are bad, who do bad. And there are people who do bad in a real bad way. For example, Zahhak ibn Abdullah al-Mashriqi. Now, why does it happen that people, they are good at a certain point and then they change at a certain point? Why is it that some people, they are good when they are in a congregation, in a gathering, but when they get home, they are bad? People, they are good when they are wealthy, but when they are poor, they are bad. There are people who are good when they are poor, when they get rich, they are bad. There are people when they are healthy, they are good, and also vice versa. So all these different stages. Zahab ibn Abdullah Mashriqi, he is among the persons present on the day of Ashura. He comes to the Imam and says that when he sees everyone is dying one after the other, Imam is alone, he comes and says to the Imam, "Okay Imam, bye, I'm leaving." Imam says, "Now in this ambush, on this day of battle, how will you go? Everything is so busy on this side. You won't have a safe way out." He says, "As a precaution, before this thing unfolds today, I had a horse all ready in one of these tents, that if I find that I'm alone and there's no one here, I'm just going to escape from there." So he was someone who was after opportunities. He was good when there is a group, when there is a gathering. But when he finds himself alone, he is bad. Or on the day of Ashura, you find that everyone from the Yazid side did bad. And after this day ends, they attack, they ambush the tents, they set it ablaze. After the children, after the women, whatever they possessed was seized away. That was bad. There was this mal'oon who comes to the body of Abu Abdullah. Everyone took away whatever was present over there. He wants to take that ring out. It's bad. He couldn't take that ring out. He cuts the finger and takes the ring out. So bad done in a real bad way. How come people are that and all of a sudden they change tone? They decline so fast. The reason for that, Quran says that أَنِعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Be obedient to me. That is submit. Submission in every aspect, in every way. If you submit, you can guarantee yourselves and to a certain extent that you will be safe. Now, these great personalities about whom we talked a lot in the past nights, including Marhumatullah Uzma Bahjat, and also this Shaykh Mujtahid we just talked about, says that what was the reason that you came so close and the distance was reduced between you and God? They say there's nothing special to do. This tawziul masail of the mujtahid who you follow, just act in accordance to it and nothing more is required. Whatever he has written in his tawziul masail, do it. You do it, that distance will automatically lessen between you and your God. Now when it comes to shaitan, Allah says, sajda before Adam, submit. He doesn't submit. Although he has worshipped so much, where Amir al-Mu'mineen in Nahjul Balagha says that he worshipped for 6,000 years, and it's not known those 6,000 years were the years of this dunya or the years of akhirah. And no one worshipped God as much as shaitan did. So how come after all that worship, he was away from Allah? The reason for that is that after all that worship, he became an abid. He never became an abd. Abid, he became a worshipper. Anyone can become a worshipper. But he never became an abd, never became a slave, never submitted to Allah. So this submission, it is that rizq jami'. It is that rizq. It is that sustenance, which is the complete sustenance. Whatever you want from Allah, it is all hidden in this submission and submission before Allah. Now when it came to shaitan, and he said that, "God, leave me alone. I will worship you." A worshipping no one ever worshipped in your entire creation. And in reply, Allah says to him that أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ أَنْ أُغَدَ مِنْ حَيْثُ أُرِيدُ, that I want to be worshipped as I wish, not that as you wish. Shaitan's claim was that I will worship you as he wanted to worship, that is, as Shaitan wanted to worship. And Allah says, no, that is not required. Worship, submission. I say, do this, do it. And I say, don't do that, don't do it. So submission has to be there in every aspect. And if that submission is there, man also will succeed in this dunya and then succeed in the hereafter as well. Again, it was mentioned with reference to knowing the satanic traps and knowing the enemy. Bani Umayyah la'natullah alayhim ajma'in. They played tactics, conspiracies, which no one did. In a report, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam. Says that in the Bani Umayyah atlaqu lin-nas ta'lim al-iman, that Bani Umayyah, they taught iman, that they promoted into the community and the man and the people, they taught iman with full force. Walam yutliqu ta'lim al-shirk, but they never taught people what shirk is. They always said iman is good, God is good, namaz is good, fasting is good, Quran is good, everything is good. They never said what shirk is. They never said what is. They never defined it. لِكَيْ إِذَا حَمَلُوهُمْ عَلَيْهِ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا. Imam says the reason for that is if they started defining what shirk is, the first mushrikeen were they themselves. So that people, they don't point at them, so that people, they don't mock them, and so that they also continue with their task of misleading. They never told people what that shirk is. So, we have to do something, that this blessing of iman that Allah has given to us, it has to be protected. One of our asatid, marhum Ayatullah Ishtihardi, he used to say that with reference to Ayatullah Ruzma Marashi, among the great Maraji Taqid of our time, who passed away in the mid-90s. Now he is an old man, dies after his Isha prayers at the age of 96 in Qom. And his performance was that all three prayers, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, were offered in Jamaat in the Haram. He is the first one who opens, who comes, enters the shrine of Hazrat Masumah in Qom. This old man who has served, who has written and has a library in Qom, tens of thousands of books he collected for the service of Islam. He says that when I come out of my house every day in the morning, I say, God, by the 14 Ma'sumeen, bring me, make it as such that when I return home for lunch, I come back mu'min. That I return with iman. So iman, it's not guaranteed. We have to try and do something that this iman, it stays with us until the last moment of our life. And again, the same thing is seen in that dua we have from our fourth imam, dua Abu Hamza. Imam, after all that pleading and crying, he comes to a point and says that Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan tubashiru bihi qalbi. That God bless me an iman which is with me close to my heart. Tubashir means, which is, now it's from Bashara, it's the vest, is the closest part of dressing and clothing that we have, which is close to us, our heart. Says, give me an iman which is so close to me, like this vest of mine, which is so close to my body. Imam Ma'soom, he asks Allah for that iman. So iman, that is faith in Allah, faith in the Day of Judgment, faith in the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen in particular, to be with us at all times until the last moment. And again, if you see this iman that we have, for example, now our hope, our wish, our desire is to end up in the paradise, and inshallah we will, if we don't need to go there. Says in this beautiful hadith from our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam. Says that the latch of the door of the paradise, it is made of
Allah.
Muhammad.
Says that the latch of the door of the paradise, it is made with ruby. As if the paradise has a door. Although a door is not required for the paradise. It's just the formalities that are being observed. Says there's a door from wherein you will enter the paradise, and the latch on it, it is made of rubies. And says in حَلَقَةَ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ يَاقُوتِيَّةِ الْحَمْرَىٰ عَلَىٰ سَفَايَحْ ذَهَبْ. And this latch hits on a plate of gold. That is, like a doorbell you want to enter, you press that bell. Says when you want to enter the paradise, you hit that latch onto that plate of gold. And then says, whenever that latch hits the plate, you know what the doorbell is like in the paradise? Says it will say, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. That is the doorbell of the paradise. And then when Marhum Allama Tabatabai was inquired, why is it that does the paradise need a doorbell? And why does that doorbell say, Ya Ali? He says, after all, when you want to enter a house, you seek the permission of the owner of that house to get in. That paradise belongs to Amir al-Mu'mineen. You want to get in, you seek his permission. And that's why the doorbell of that paradise, it says, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we ask Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, on this night, night of Azar, night of Ahlul Bayt, night of Amir al-Mu'mineen, never to separate us from Quran, from Ahlul Bayt, even for a moment. There is a book called Kamil al-Ziyarat, and the ahadith that are reported in there, you can take them for granted. It's all authentic ahadith. One of those riwayat says that everything that Allah has created, it speaks. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever Allah has created, it glorifies. It does the speak. It speaks. And there are people who hear all this stuff. We are blind, we are deaf, we don't see, we are dumb. But there are creations of Allah, sincere servants of Allah who have submitted, who hear all this. Says that the land wherein Kaaba is situated boasts. Says that I am a piece of land, there is no land better than me. The house of Allah is situated on me. And it was boasting. All of a sudden, a call is heard from the land of Karbala. Says, what do you say? If an honor is remained for Kaaba, it's because of the person who is buried in my land, and that is Karbala. Karbala is great. And again, says that after Qiyamah, when everything will perish, nothing will remain from this earth, the remains or the land of Karbala, every part of it will be taken to the paradise. As if everything in the paradise will be tiled, will be covered, the flooring will be as if of Karbala, the land of Karbala. Nothing of Karbala should be wasted. Nothing of Karbala should go waste. Everything will be kept, preserved, even in the paradise. That is for that great sacrifice which Allah Abdullah gives on the day of Ashura. Now, although it's so simple, we don't really understand, we don't get to the depth of it, but that's the faint understanding that we have. What we understand, may Allah accept it from us and give us more ma'rifah so that we can get to a little bit of more depth of it. During the time of Rasulullah, a father with his young girl comes to him, says that this girl of mine is ill, can you pray for her shifa? Rasulullah says, Aba Abdullah, that is Imam Hussein to come. At that time, Imam is just 5-6 years old. And says, pray for her. Imam prays for her, she gets shifa. And then at that time, she imposes on herself that whenever I meet someone who is in need, who is desperate, or who is a traveler, I will give water to them, food to them. And it so happens that after this tragedy of Karbala, which unfolds, and this woman, this lady, she is a grown-up woman now, this girl. And when this caravan of Karbala comes to Sham, and they find these prisoners of war over there, she, as what she had imposed upon herself, she gives water and food to all of these poor. She comes to Zainab, and then she doesn't recognize her. Now, although she was living in Kufa herself, says that you had imposed upon yourself to feed the poor, feed the needy, give water to them. Don't you recognize me? She says, no. Says, I am Zainab. And says, I had imposed upon myself that if I see my master once again, I will stop doing this. And then she says, you don't need to do that anymore, as this is Hussein, this is his. And this caravan, when it starts to move back to Karbala from Sham, Yazid, he changes his route, his policies, and says they can go back. He arranges for them a lavish caravan so that they can go back. And when Zainab, she sees this caravan, she says, what is all this? What is all this ornaments for? What is all this lavish carriage for? Says, it's the household of the Prophet going back to Medina. Says, no, I won't go in this carriage. Everything has to go black. As we are in mourning, and this message of azar of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein has to go town to town until we reach Medina, so that everyone knows what has unfolded upon this household of Wahi. Muslim ibn Aqil, this great Sahabi, companion, associate, servant of Aba Abdullah, although miles away, he submits to him. Does good in a good way, does good in a benevolent way. Now his fault or the wrong which he did was that he has a message of Aba Abdullah to the people. Now what is that message? Message of Tawheed, message of submission, message of values, message of fighting kufr, of fighting shirk. And when he is punished, taken to the Darul Imara on the top floor, and from there he is thrown down, he is killed. And again, after all those beating ups, when he wants to have a sip of water, water is given to him, he brings the bowl to his lips, wants to drink, blood flows, he can't drink. A second bowl is brought to him, a third cup is brought to him, again the same thing, and he says that it seems as my sustenance in this dunya has finished. He is killed, thrown down. Abdullah bin Hassan, a young lad, 12 or 13 years of age, and is the last one to be killed on that day of Ashura. And it so happens that when Aba Abdullah al-Hussein sets off to the battlefield, there, when he hears the cry of his uncle, rushes to the battlefield. Imam says, stop him, Zainab, stop him. He says, I can't bear to see, bear to hear the call of my uncle, and I can't do anything. He rushes to the battlefront to save his uncle, and that Qal'uni comes and slices his hand off. And he gives away his life in the arms of his uncle. Again, on that day, it is said that Sakina, this toddler of Abdullah al-Hussein, she, when that horse comes to the camps, now this is the horse who has taken the ride to the battlefront, that is Aba Abdullah. And the rider, that is Aba Abdullah, should have been with the horse all the time as he was on it. Now when the horse comes back and the rider is not on there, the first thing she asks is, "Hal ya Jawad Abi, oh my father's ride, Hal Subiya Abi Am Qutil Achana? My father's horse, tell me, my father, was his thirst quenched or did he die thirsty?" when it comes to the mission of Zainab Ibra. She is the only one who sees how the whole tragedy unfolds. She is the only one who sees for herself that she sits in front of her brother and that Mal'oon sits on the chest of his brother. And she sees for herself how Imam is beaten, how Imam is killed, how Imam is beheaded. And she raises the call of Wa Muhammada, Sallallahu Alaihi Malika Sama. And again, if you look into the Masa'ib of Hazrat Zainab, she says, I was given that opportunity and I put a condition with my brother that I must, with my husband, that I have to see my brother whenever I wish. She comes to Karbala with that same mission, for that same reason that she has to be with her brother. She says, Hussein, whenever I wanted to see you, I saw you, and these two eyes of mine were sufficient. But now on this day of Ashura, Hussein has appeared to me in 1,000 pieces, and I need 1,000 eyes to see him. When did you drift from me for me to wish for you? When did you drift from me for me to wish for you? When were you hidden to me for me to search for you? With 1,000 rays and flashes, you have appeared to me. I need 1,000 eyes for me to look at you. With 1,000 rays and flashes, you have appeared to me. I need 1,000 eyes for me to gaze at you. Hussein, when were you hidden to me for me to look for you? When were you hidden to me for me to look for you? When did you fade from me for me to wish for you? When did you fade from me for me to wish for you? With 1,000 rays and flashes, you have appeared to me. I need 1,000 eyes to gaze and look at you. Hussein, you are not an occultation for me to pray for you. You are not an occultation for me to pray for you. Nor are you lost to me for me to search for you. With 1,000 rays and flashes, you have appeared to me. I need 1,000 eyes to gaze and look at you. Hussein, I wish you passed by a shrine for me to boast that you are the Qibla for those who weep for you. With 1,000 rays and flashes, you have appeared to me. I need 1,000 eyes to gaze and look at you.
Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein.